Invite you to please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we gather this special day, we give you thanks and praise for it, because not only is this just a new day within your creation you've given us, but it's a day that we remember the precious and victorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it is through his resurrection we know that death has been defeated, and we have that hope of eternal life with you yet to come. For if it was not for Christ's resurrection, we would have nothing to believe in, no faith to hold, no hope to hold on to. So bless this time that we have today as we gather to remember and to celebrate. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, would be pleasing to you, my Lord, my rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. Jackson approaches Delilah, his warm hand falling softly on her cold skin. He places his hand over her chest that does not rise or fall, that does not contain a beating heart. His tears splash down onto her dress. And as he kisses her forehead for one last time, his tears rain down his cheeks and land on her closed eyes. Though his heart breaks, he knows she is safe with the Lord, safe with God, and that he keeps his eternal promise that they will one day be together again in heaven. Those who die, they are cold. Cold to the warm touch of the living. The life that had dwelt within them is gone, and they are safe from the perils of this world which face the living. No more harm can come to them now. Hearts that used to beat with love are still. Minds that felt so many emotions are blank. We carefully lie them on their backs, their feet together, their arms folded over their chest, their eyes closed, with a cross of daisies over their torso, and we blow them a kiss for the journey. This is the Jesus that Mary Magdalene expects to find when she approaches Jesus' tomb early in the morning on that first day of the week. Jesus, having been in the tomb for 3 days, would have been stiff. He would have been cold. He would not have looked his normal self, and he would have smelled bad. But as Mary approaches the tomb, she sees that the stone has been rolled away. It has been rolled away from the entrance to the tomb. But instead of going into the tomb to see if Jesus is even there, Mary takes off running to find Peter and John. And together, the three of them go back to the tomb. John, the scripture says, gets there first, but he doesn't go in. Instead, John just leans against the wall. He bends in and looks, and he sees the strips of linen lying there which had been wrapped around Jesus' body. Peter shows up next, and he just rushes right in, just as Peter usually does. He too sees the strips of linen, as well as the burial cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. But there's one thing missing. Body of Jesus. John, Peter, and Mary, they've been around long enough to know that when a person dies, they are cold, they're stiff, their chest fails to rise or fall, their heart stops beating, and that there's no life in the person whatsoever. But something is obviously different here. They don't ask any questions. They don't go in search for Jesus' body. Scripture says that they saw They believed, but didn't understand. And then Peter and John just go back home. But not Mary. No, Mary, she stays. She stands outside of the tomb and she cries. Her heart is broken and her tears rain down her face and pool there in front of her on the ground. Not only is it hard enough to lose someone, but to lose someone you really care about is even harder. But to make this matter worse for her, the one she cares about is now missing. The two angels inside of the tomb are totally perplexed at why she's weeping. They even ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Beyond this, they offer her no consolation whatsoever. Turning around, Mary sees Jesus, even though she doesn't realize it. And Jesus asks her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Mary, thinking that she's talking to the gardener, asks him to tell her, "Please, where did you put him? Where did you put him so that I may go and get him?" Mary is obviously confused. But can you blame her? She first showed up at the tomb when it was still dark. The disciples were probably still fast asleep. She herself probably hadn't slept much since his crucifixion. We know what it's like. In the days following the loss of a loved one, this sense of disbelief sets in. I can't believe he's really gone. It just doesn't seem real. So when Mary sees Jesus and mistakenly takes him for the gardener, can we really blame her? But this man standing before her is not just any old gardener. Behold the man who is before Mary, who was once dead but is now alive. Jesus' heart had stopped, but now it beats with this new rhythm and this new vigor. After Jesus cried out on Good Friday, as he's hanging there on the cross, in that loud voice, "It is finished," he bows his head and gives up his spirit. At that very moment, the chest of Jesus fails to rise again. But now behold, the man standing before Mary has lungs, which are filled with the breath of a fresh air, of a new life. He has eyes which were closed and darkened that are now open, and they see the beauty of God's creation. His nail-scarred hands, which were folded ever so neatly across his chest, have wiggled free and have unwrapped the burial cloth and the linens and taken the burial cloth off from around his head and neatly folded it. His cold skin now radiates heat and warmth. His brain, which had been still, is now firing on all cylinders. Behold the man who 40 days ago on Ash Wednesday, who hungered, and who since then has prayed and was beaten and was mocked, who thirsted, who was exposed. Behold the God who lives. Behold the God who rises. He rises triumphantly from the dead, and he strolls out of his own grave into his own creation. Behold the man who stands before Mary, who was once dead, but is now alive. And that's what we're here to celebrate this morning. We celebrate that we have a God who rises. A God through the man of Jesus Christ who's conquered death. Death, no matter how we try to describe it, no matter how nice we try to make it sound, it's something that no one likes. And no one likes it because it's not natural. It's not part of God's original plan that he had in the beginning. As we read in 1 Corinthians 15, death comes through a man. Death came into the beautiful, perfect Garden of Eden through Adam and Eve believing Satan's lie, that their eyes would be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You know, wanting to be like God, Adam and Eve together, they willfully ate what they were told not to eat. The sinful desire to be like God caused Adam and Eve to eat, and their eating caused them to realize what they've done was wrong. And out of fear for their lives, when they hear the sound of the Lord God, when they hear the sound of the master gardener walking through the garden in the cool of the day, out of fear they hide. God wanted nothing more than a wonderful life for His creation. Nothing more than a wonderful life for His most prized creation. But instead, Adam and Eve chose death. And since that moment, there's this tension between God and man, between God and us, this clash between life versus death. When Adam and Eve sinned, God could have very easily left them in that sin for the rest of their lives. But instead, the divine gardener went for His usual stroll through His garden and came and sought them out. It should be no surprise to us then that when the Word became flesh in the person of Jesus, that when the Creator of life itself decided to take an extended stroll through His creation, that Jesus would exercise skill and patience of a master gardener as He walked the rows. Behold the man who tends to His garden, who everywhere He went pulled the weeds of blindness and paralysis, leprosy and death, unbelief and rebellion. Behold the man who sowed the seed of His word, the news of the new and irresistible reign of life yet to come as He swallowed up the regime of death forever. Jesus promised life, but it would only come through death. It only come through His death. And so when Mary Magdalene sees the man who created the Garden of Eden, who prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night in which He was betrayed, and who was dead and buried in a garden on Good Friday, she made an honest mistake. An honest mistake of assuming that He was just another man, just another gardener in the gardens of death. But He's not. So here we are, gathered this morning at the dawn of Jesus' resurrection, celebrating this in the fresh rays of a new day, a new dawn, basking in the glow of life, overcoming the shadows of death and beholding the man who rose from the dead to destroy death's icy cold grip on His good creation. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is the sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, for He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friends, behold the man who gives life. Believe in His bodily resurrection that we celebrate this morning, but also believe in your own bodily resurrection, which will happen on that last day when Christ comes and He raises us up and He makes us perfect. Behold the man who immersed Himself into our lives, dying the death at the hands of sinful men that you and I truly do deserve. Behold the man whose death and resurrection has totally destroyed death forever. Behold the man who emerged from his grave and was immediately confused to be a gardener. Behold the man who literally feeds you today with His very body and blood as He claims victory over sin and death. Behold the man, and in Him behold yourself. For it's through Christ's victory over sin, death, and Satan, you are made holy. You are forgiven. You are set free. In Christ, behold the person that you are. You are the child of God. Now, and that will be fully made known when Jesus comes and raises you up so that you could be with Him forever. Behold the God who rises so that you may be with Jesus forever and also with your loved ones who've gone before you. Amen.